Welcome to the show on this Thursday, February 24th. I'm Carl Azus, bringing your objective overview of current events. The U.S. Supreme Court is our first topic. President Joe Biden has reportedly met with three potential nominees to the High Court, and by next Monday, he's planning to announce his choice for the court's next Associate Justice. On our January 28th show, which you can find in our YouTube archives, we explored some of the likely frontrunners for President Biden's nomination. He's expected to follow through on a campaign promise he made to nominate the first black woman to the Supreme Court. If she's confirmed, it would be a historic appointment, though an ABC Ipsos poll conducted last month found that most Americans wanted the president to consider all possible nominees. Whoever is nominated will still have to be confirmed, and whoever gets confirmed will be replacing 83-year-old Associate Justice Stephen Breyer, who's retiring. Justice Breyer began his term on the High Court in 1994 after his nomination by then-President Bill Clinton. There's no limit to how long justices can serve. The U.S. Constitution says they can hold their office during, quote, good behavior. But Democrats have pressured Justice Breyer to retire during this term. Why? The timing of these nominations matters a great deal to America's political parties. Republicans generally want to seat conservative justices on the Supreme Court. Democrats generally want to seat liberal justices. Six of the current Supreme Court members were appointed by Republican presidents. Three were appointed by Democratic presidents. Those include Justice Breyer. So President Biden and his fellow Democrats, who control the Senate by the slimmest of margins, want to try to get Breyer's replacement confirmed this year because the midterm elections in November could change the political makeup of the Senate. If Republicans win back control of that chamber, it could make it harder for President Biden to get a liberal justice confirmed. CNN 10 contributor Rachel Janfaza has more on this process.
Now that Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer has decided to retire, President Joe Biden will nominate his successor. But just because Biden nominates a successor does not mean that his pick will automatically be confirmed to the highest bench in the land. The Constitution does not require that the candidate is a judge or even a lawyer, but that's been the case in recent history. Once Biden announces his pick, the confirmation process heads over to the Senate, where there will be hearings over the candidate in the Senate Judiciary Committee ahead of a Senate vote over whether or not to confirm the nominee. That vote requires a simple majority of 51 senators. If it's a 50-50 split, Vice President Kamala Harris could break the tie. You might be wondering, how long does this process take? Well, there's no clear answer to that question. It really depends. Usually, it takes months. But when Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died in 2020, former President Donald Trump and Senate Republicans confirmed now Justice Amy Coney Barrett in less than a month. So, time will tell. But with the 2022 midterm elections on the horizon, Senate Democrats will likely look to follow a quick timeline towards confirmation while they have the Senate majority.
10-second trivia. What accounts for more than 99% of the mass in our solar system? The planets, the sun, carbon, or oxygen? Believed to be composed mainly of hydrogen and helium, the sun holds the vast majority of our solar system's mass. And that's our first stop in a trio of stories about science. We're going to start with something far away and work our way in. The sun, at a distance of about 93 million miles, give or take, recently had an eruption that just happened to have been caught on camera. Scientists say this was a highly energetic explosion of light, solar material, and energy that occurred earlier this month, and thankfully, it was traveling in a different direction than Earth. little closer to home, when Mars and the Earth get near each other, they're only about 34 million miles apart, and NASA currently has a rover that recently marked its first anniversary of when it landed on the red planet. Perseverance has been slowly moving around, taking photos, collecting Martian rocks, testing out its drone helicopter and oxygen generator technology. The estimated cost of this mission is more than $2.7 billion, and it's one of six active missions that NASA currently has on and around the red planet.
Mars. Its blood-red color inspired the Romans to name it after their god of war. The ancient Egyptians called it the Red One, the Chinese, Fire Star. Now, with NASA aiming to send humans to the planet in the 2030s, the question many have is why? Mars has no known resources that would be valuable enough to send back to Earth. It's bombarded by solar radiation and has dust storms that cover the entire planet, which raises the question why governments and private enterprise are spending billions of dollars on getting there. Perhaps the most intriguing reason is the search for extraterrestrial life. In 1976, NASA's Viking 1 became the first spacecraft to successfully land on Mars. On board was apparatus designed to detect life. Chemical soil tests were initially promising, but doubts were raised, and it has since been discounted that life was discovered by Viking 1. Yet it still supercharged the debate on whether there was life beyond our planet and what it means for our place in the universe. Conditions on Mars indicate life could have existed, and in 2018, NASA's Curiosity rover found organic matter, like methane, in rocks.
Organic molecules could be the food for life, or they could be the product of life, or maybe they're from something altogether different, such as geology or meteorites that were deposited into the lake.
NASA's Perseverance rover, which touched down on the red planet February 2021, is actively testing for signs of life too. Perseverance rover is just the latest in a series of missions to Mars that spans decades. And each new step towards the red planet has brought the potential for a better understanding of our own. There may not be a lot on Mars, but it's the unknown and the adventure of getting there that might just merit the price tag.
Bringing things right back down to Earth, one of the most active volcanoes on our planet is at it again. We're talking about Mount Etna, the highest active volcano in Europe. It does this a lot. Etna is located on the eastern part of the Italian island of Sicily. Shout out to Mr. McCarthy's classes watching there. And the blast from Mount Etna earlier this week sent a volcanic ash cloud about 7.5 miles into the air. This is according to Italy's Institute of Geophysics and Volcanology. The lava fountain that shot from the mountain was visible in hues of red and crimson for several hours, and the Catania Airport, which is located about 20 miles away, had to shut down for a while because ash is bad news for airplane engines. It can melt inside them and cause catastrophic damage. Etna's eruptions can and have caused damage to nearby property, but Italian officials don't consider the volcano a direct threat to the people who live in the region. It has been in the past, though. In 1669, Etna erupted violently over a period of 4 months. It destroyed nearby villages and buried the western part of Catania, and according to Encyclopedia Britannica, a trench that workers there dug during the eruption might have been the first ever human attempt to redirect the flow of lava. One really sweet story rates a 10 out of 10 today. How many M&Ms can you stack one on top of the other? For 22-year-old Brendan Kelby of Queensland, Australia, the answer is 6. That might not sound like a lot, but it is a world record. No one on the planet has proven to Guinness that they can stack more than 6. These have to be just regular milk chocolate M&Ms, and they've got to stay stacked for at least 10 seconds. No, I don't mean to be Ruth, baby, but some might snicker, calling that record a dud he milked for all it was worthers. But he's an original, star bursting with mounds of grand ideas that bring him good and plenty almond joy, as long as he keeps catching records and doesn't get, whatchamacallit, butterfingers. I'm Coral Azus. From the town of Keensburg, Colorado, we've got the Rebels of Weld Central High School watching today. Thank you for your request on our YouTube channel. Please join us again on Friday.